The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Johnny, that's better than most. That is better than most. Better than most!
Better Than Most is a regular feature of The Business of Giving, examining the best places to work among social businesses and nonprofit organizations.
Tonight, we'll be coming to you from our nation's capital and the headquarters of the American Red Cross. We're going to begin with Business of Giving fave Gail McGovern. They are president and CEO, and then you will hear from some of the other members of the team.
I have seen more people hire for expediency and then dig out of a personnel problem and wish they never did it. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather keep that job open until the right person comes in. And I don't necessarily look for someone who can do the job when they walk in. I know this sounds lame, but people don't do it. I look for smart and I look for nice. And if they have those two traits, you can pretty much teach somebody anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may not be able to teach them to be a brain surgeon, but in business and in nonprofit, you can pretty much teach them just about anything. And there's nothing worse than hiring somebody who's really smart who isn't nice.
It's probably 8 years ago. We were just talking about town hall, and we're doing one of Gail's town halls, and the question was raised in terms of what do we do at the Red Cross, and that's sort of everybody. And crystal clear answer, and it's still sort of burned into my memory, is we bring hope. And I think that the culture here reflects that as well, that you have folks that are just so committed to whatever it is that we do, whether it's, you know, all the different lines of service, whether it's the blood side, disaster, whether it's all of our support units and administrative and financial, all those pieces, single mission is to bring hope. And that's what we do here. So that's what our culture reflects and the way we deal with each other. So I think that's really important.
Her motto is recognize, recognize, recognize. And she and our team created this amazing virtual awards show. And as you might know, the Red Cross is a pretty remote organization. We've got people all over. And you know, being a nonprofit, we don't have the money to bring in hordes of folks all the time. So getting creative, using technology, we had this video Skype meeting. We all had costumes, and we gave people awards. So it was a true-on award show. We will now make it an annual event. I rode high from that experience for probably 3 weeks.
And I think one of the things that makes me very proud to work here is I think everyone gets to touch the mission. So I'm in a role where I'm behind a computer all the time. And it might seem like I'm not able to physically touch the mission, but one of the things is that even my everyday work behind the computer, my leadership team and my team makes me feel like I'm very involved. A lot of the times one of the things is that they will ask about my opinion on a lot of things, even if I might not necessarily know what's going on. They will always ask for my input. They will always ask for my feedback, and that feeling of being included and belonging as part of this greater mission is extremely important to me, and I'm extremely proud to say that's one of the exciting things about the culture at the American Red Cross.
And she said, I need a way to spend my time. I need something to do with my thoughts, and helping others is what's going to help me heal. And I just thought that was amazing, and I think that's something that that you really find in no other organization. I think we have so many volunteers because people see on the ground exactly what we're doing during disasters. So many people who have been affected decide to pay it forward by volunteering, whether that's in the United States or around the world.
Everybody is donating their time, their talent, their money, and their blood. And that just, you know, resonates with me in even the smallest ways. I had a moment several months ago. It was in winter. It was a cold, rainy winter night here in D.C. And I was watching the 11 o'clock news, and on comes a report of a home fire. And there is the Red Cross volunteer with the vest. And I actually started to cry. It was a home fire, but it was a miserable evening. The last thing I would want to do is to be outside in the dark helping, you know, a family dealing with such anguish. And I swell with pride.
What's fascinating here is that while we do spend a lot of time recognizing individuals, we recognize teams. And we do, whether it's at all levels of our organization, get together at an executive level or our national meetings, we do these things called mission moments. And in a mission moment, we highlight whether it's a preparedness activity or blood services, disaster services, where I work, and we look at what the team achieved and what we could not have achieved as individuals. And we really highlight, look at this and the impact on, you know, and what I think about it all the time is when we talk about our Sound the Alarm campaign, and we talk about installing 100,000 smoke alarms over a 2-week period in 1,000 different cities.
You look inward to your own personal experiences and you reflect on your own stereotypes and understand how it's impacting your behavior. And I think it's one of the only diversity and inclusion courses, and I've had a pretty long HR career, that really kind of perfectly blends the introspection with the outward focus. So, you know, you start to become much more aware of how your own, you know, experiences and your own story is creating, you know, how you show up in the world every day, let alone, you know, how you show up at work.
Our doctor told us partway through that it was 50-50 whether she would end up making it. Every year on that anniversary of that surgery, we think back to the 21 individuals who were able to donate blood, and because of their generosity, because of their contributions, because of their donations, my wife's here. My kids have a mother, I have a wife. We get to experience that entire life because 10 years ago, people who give to the Red Cross every day, who give to organizations like this, who help, who give of themselves, really made a tangible contribution to our life. So when we talk about why people stay, why people feel connected, that is exactly why I feel connected, because I can see the impact that people make when they give of themselves.
A couple of years ago, we revamped our building, and it's really got an open space feel now here in the DC office. So we have a lot of desks that are flexible seating, basically. So they're drop-in desks where people can go work if they just need a change of scenery, or if they're visiting, or if they're typically a remote worker and they're in the office. And so I think that really allows people to actually not just change their scenery, but also change the people they're sitting near every day. And I think it really opens up more conversations with people you normally don't work with on your team or even in your department.
That transparency up and down has been something that I've been here long enough to say it has not always been that way. And certainly within the last 10 years, that has been such a refreshing change. And the other point that I'd like to make is that I have learned over these years is the staff needs support, but so does senior leadership. And we have such a wonderful group right now, and it is so easy to be supportive of them as they have been supportive of us.
We move a number of tomorrow's leaders from experience to experience so they get a good vantage point. But the other thing, which was an unintended consequence, and it was great, is these smoke alarm campaigns. You know, the one that I was recently on, we had people from our IT department, from legal, from finance, from, you know, areas that would never touch the mission that way, from our biomed business, from our health and safety business. And the next thing you know, people re-fell in love with the Red Cross. You know, they're welcome into a stranger's home. They're helping them potentially save lives. They're they re-fell in love with the missions.
Me personally, one of the things that I've tried to do is build in time in those virtual meetings to have a stronger relationship. So for example, if I'm leading a big project team and we can't pull folks together face to face, I'm going to build some sort of team building activity virtually. So, you know, we're going to send something beforehand. So we're spending some time on the relational aspect. To me, my personal work experience is always enriched when I can have more authentic dialogue and have a stronger relationship with my team, even if it's virtual. So it's celebrating a holiday virtually. Like we have, an Indian colleague and we celebrated Diwali. We had, you know, candies and we ate, you know, we had virtual coffee and tea. And so just creating a space in those virtual experiences to build rapport and ensuring that it's a priority.
Our team has what we call a mods day. Our team is along marketing operations, data sciences. We call it mods. And we come in to either the DC office, the Fairfax chapter, or a local public library around the area once a month to bring our team together, to say, you need the face time that we've lost from being in a traditional office environment. How do we recapture that? How do we build up that camaraderie? How do we get to know one another? And at the same time, work collaboratively on efforts that are relevant to each of us. It helps us bring back some of those traditional elements, and it also helps us put into perspective what we're all working towards when we're all off in our own rooms, we're all off in our own offices, et cetera, trying to stay connected, trying to remain a part of that mission and stay connected as a team.
One thing that that has come out of this Engage survey is there are managers who have very great employee Engage scores. And one thing that HR actually did was they pulled together the employees, I mean the managers who had great Engage scores, and asked them, what are some best practices? And I think, you know, that document shows that, you know, communication, transparency is key. And, you know, the Red Cross is trying to learn from these amazing managers.
I think that people at the Red Cross tend to become really close with one another. And I would say many of them, if not most of them who you ask, their best friends work at the Red Cross. And I think a big reason for that is because we are all working towards the same mission, whether there's a disaster or not, and we're doing that around the clock and in very close quarters often, right? So during domestic disasters, staff and volunteers often sleep in staff shelters. They are sleeping in very close quarters or even share hotel rooms. Around the world, we often have to sleep in tents if you're in an earthquake zone so that you're not sleeping in dangerous buildings, or in base camps where you're eating every meal together, you are working in the base camp together. You are spending sometimes 8 hours in a car together. So when you're in close quarters like that, you are working and you are talking and you are socializing, and you are, even when you're not talking, you are having some kind of really unique experience with your colleagues, with your coworkers, and with fellow volunteers.
I want to thank Elizabeth Penniman for organizing my visit, and to all those who participated in this piece: Mark Smith, Heather Peterson, Tony DePasquale, Naoku Okuma, Janelle Eli, and Sue Burns. To hear this again, read the transcript, or see pictures of the participants, just come to denver-frederick.com, and we'll provide a link there to my full interview with Gail McGovern, the president and CEO of the American Red Cross.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.